This is JS Party, your weekly celebration of JavaScript and the web. Connect with us on the Fediverse. We're JS Party at changelog.social. On Twitter, we're at JS Party FM. And on YouTube, at youtube.com/changelog, where we host our live shows, post clips and highlights from all of our pods, and other cool videos you don't want to miss. Special thanks to our partners at Fastly for shipping JS Party super fast all around the world. Check them out at fastly.com. And to fly.io. Host your app servers and database close to your users. Smart, right? Don't worry, no ops are required. Learn more at fly.io.
Hello, JS Party people. Welcome to this week's JS Party. I'm K-Ball. I'll be your host and MC today, and I am joined by two of my friends, internet friends, as Jared likes to say, and fellow panelists. First off, Amelia Wattenberger. Amelia, how are you?
I'm good, joining from sunny Oakland. It's finally sunny. Nice.
I know, right? Oh my gosh, I'm so tired of the rain, and it's so nice to have warmth.
Yeah.
And somebody who maybe knows about warmth has heard of that occasionally. Nick Nisi, how are you?
Hoi hoi. I've occasionally heard about that. Hopefully, I'm going to hear about it and then be sick of it very soon.
Indeed. All right. So today's topic is professional networking as a software developer. Now, let me start with just like gut reactions. What happens in your body when you hear professional networking?
My neck gets really tense. I start sweating. I curl up in a ball in the corner. That's just my gut instinct. What about you, Nick?
I immediately picture the email that I would get from LinkedIn asking to be added to a professional network.
Yeah. Amelia, I think your response is very common. I brought this as a topic area because I had something like 6 or 8 conversations in the last month, whether it was people I was coaching or just people I was like hanging out with or whatever, where they're like, man, I need to find a new job and applying online sucks. And then they'd stop there and I'd be like, well, have you talked to people in your network? And they'd go, oh. And they'd have that reaction that you have there of like curling up in a ball or just being, I mean, metaphorically, but yeah, definitely this reaction. I think we all have a little bit of that reaction of like, oh, that feels gross like that and intimidating. So I thought maybe it would be worth us talking about our experiences, how we think about it, what makes it work, what doesn't. Nick, you had a little bit less of a cringe immediately. Like, how do you think about networking?
Oh, I think I do. I have a lot of anxiety around it probably, but I'm also more of a social developer, I guess. Meaning like I like to talk about development and to developers a lot, like comes with running a meetup and things like that, hosting a conference thing. And so I don't know, like from that perspective, I like doing that. I like building the network. I don't know how to utilize a network for like finding a new job or anything. I guess I have done that, but not directly, if that makes sense.
Ooh, so you will be our resource for hacks for building a network.
Okay.
Okay. Amelia, how do you think about networking?
Yeah. Maybe I was being a little bit dramatic. I think for me, the word networking is not my favorite word. But if you think about it, you know, like if I think about it as like, oh, I'm a developer and here's the friends I've made along the way. I love talking about my work with other people. And, you know, if you want to call people you've talked to as your network, then networking is great.
That completely is like how I reframed networking for myself, because I very much, when I was early in my career, had your reaction of like curl up in a ball, and I've come to peace with networking, possibly why I end up in all these conversations now about it, because and it was exactly that reframe of like networking doesn't have to be this like slimy transactional thing. It can be just talking with people who are interested in the same kinds of stuff that I'm interested in. And I think one of my favorite early networking hacks was meetup and hosting a meetup and going to a meetup and just talking to developers about development. That's networking, right? Like we're connecting with people.
Yeah, one of the notes I had is it's interesting to think about, like, what are the different types of networking, right? Like, there's going to meetups and talking to people. There's your existing teammates, you know, and they become, you know, ex-teammates when one of them moves on to a different job. And there's Twitter, right, which is some form of networking. Like, there's so many different ways to do this verb. Maybe it's worth listing them out because I feel like I've never thought about, you know, I just engage in activities that I enjoy, but which ones of them fall under the term networking?
Mm-hmm. Well, can we define what a professional network is?
It's probably like the people that you connect to in your field that know either you know something about what they're doing or I don't know, you connect on a professional level. No, I don't think that was helpful at all.
No, I mean, that may be part of the challenge here is it's like, what is the definition of this thing that we're trying to talk about here? I think you're in the right direction of like the people who, well, I guess that's the first piece. It's about people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about people who your relationship, the core way that you think about them or relate with them is professional. Though I feel like there can also be overlap, right? Like I am friends with a lot of the people that I have worked with. And there are people that I am friends with who are in a similar industry than me, even though like our relationship is purely about friendship. So like it, there is a blurry line there.
Right. And it doesn't always have to be just with developers, right? People I talk to on the marketing team or designers, right? They are also in my network, I assume.
Totally. I mean, if they were to go to some new company and be looking for a developer, like you could connect through them.
I like this definition.
Yeah.
This right? works like, for me.
I feel like maybe one of the best things we can do here is just simplify it. Like professional network is, how do we say it? Like all the people where your relationship has something to do with work, and networking is just talking with those people.
I have a question. So you mentioned LinkedIn. When I think of what is a professional network, I think of, you know, like LinkedIn, what are they, follow requests or friend requests? Like, how do you all handle, like, do you all get the same number of inbounds that I get? And I'm like, I don't even know, we've never met.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what you work on. Do you say yes to these things? Is that your network?
It's a fantastic question, I think, because I'm very curious about how y'all handle it. But the way I do is, if I get a connection request or whatever they're called on there, I say yes. And then I'll get, you know, the follow-up message or email that's like, oh, we've got, you know, a lot of times it's like, oh, we've got this job or whatever. I almost never respond to those. So I'll connect all day and then I don't. I'm a bad connection, I guess.
That's so funny. I have the opposite. I'm always like, no, don't like dilute my feed because sometimes maybe I want to read my feed. And if half of it's people I don't know. And then I that's also partially because I feel like I have to respond when they ask me questions. And just a lot of that.
Yeah. I at some point switched my profile type to be a creator type. So now people can follow me without connecting.
Oh.
And so that helped a little bit with that, Amelia, of like, maybe I'm not interested in the type of stuff you're going to tell me about, but okay, we can still be like kind of connected.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that was an option.
Yeah, I had no idea until I did it.
I thought you had to quote unquote make it. Not that you haven't, but.
No, I didn't. I just have to, it's the original fake it before you make it thing. I have to say that's what I am. And LinkedIn is like, all right, sure.
LinkedIn is it's a peculiar place for me, I think, just because, yeah, I do connect with everyone. So my feed is just random noise and I don't go there to really look at the feed. And maybe that's a part of it, but I also don't really interact there much at all. Like I started posting about like my meetup and stuff just to get that out there a little bit more. But otherwise, I almost never post there. And I think it's just like the nature of LinkedIn. It feels so, I don't know, to me, this is my perspective of it, and it's probably completely wrong, but I always feel like, oh, I don't want to interact too much here because I'm connected to a lot of like current coworkers. And if they see my activity spike on LinkedIn, is that some kind of signal that I don't want out there? Is it not? And then there's this whole like voyeuristic portion of LinkedIn where you like can see who's looking at your profile and all of that too, which also makes it like, oh, I want to look at your profile, but I'm not going to because it's going to let you know.
Oh, yeah. That's my least favorite thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll like open an incognito window to look at people's LinkedIn profiles.
Totally. Yeah. I've been playing a lot with LinkedIn recently because of the like dumpster fire that is Twitter. And yeah. Because I'm like back in this like run your own business, got to self-promote, et cetera, et cetera. It's interesting. Yeah. There's definitely some weird features about it. I have found there are, just like with Twitter, there are like sub-communities that engage in really interesting conversations. And the depth of those is often, the depth of the back and forth can be higher because there's, you know, fewer content limits. But it's definitely sub-communities. And there's also parts that have exactly that, a very transactional feel. And actually, getting back to your question, Amelia, like with connection requests, I will say no mostly to people who are reaching out with a transactional request. Right. They connect and they're like, I thought you might be interested in this thing that I'm doing. And I'm like, nope, sorry. But people who are like, you're kind of doing interesting stuff, I'm kind of doing interesting stuff, like, let's connect. I look at them and I'm like, oh, yeah, you are kind of doing stuff that might be interesting. Sure, let's connect. And have even had a couple of those folks where I'm like, your stuff looks really cool. Do you want to hop on a call? Like, let's get to know each other. And they've turned into friends. So, nice. Yeah, it depends. There's definitely a lot of that, like, transactional skeevy, like yuck. And I don't yeah. like, well, and I feel like that's when we talk about professional networking in general, like a networking event, like yuck, what is that about? Right. But like going to a meetup where we're talking about tech with cool people, like that to me is the interesting networking, not the like transactional, I'm going to give you my business card, et cetera, et cetera.
I wonder, like, is this just a developer thing? Like, do people in the corporate world who have other types of jobs feel happy when they hear the term networking event? Is this just like a euphemism that we need for ourselves, or is this like nobody likes that?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, y'all are my people, right? Like, I like hanging out with technical people. I don't know any technical person who likes professional networking events.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, and that's how I treat conferences too. Like, the reason to go to a conference specifically is for the networking. I almost never will go to talks if I can avoid it, because I can watch them usually on YouTube later. And it's more about meeting and connecting with people, but it's, I don't know, something about that feels more natural. It's like, I don't know, it's just, I saw like a Instagram reel today or something that was like, oh, you know, people in their 30s have friends based on like, it's based on sports, it's based on work, or it's based on something. Like, there's a transactional piece to having a friendship in your 30s. And it's because it gives you that, like, distraction away from, we're just trying to connect and have fun. You get that with the conference. Well, we're just here having fun at the conference, but we're here together, and now we can meet and talk and pretend like that's not why we're here.
Yeah, I think that was a huge issue during the pandemic, where they'd have these online conferences, and it was like, there's no hallway track, right? It's yeah. just, I'm sitting at my computer just like I do every day.
We do have a question in the Slack from longtime listener Jared Santo. It says, what's the most valuable use of your networking time? Most bang for your buck?
I think my answer, if this counts as networking, is Twitter, right? Like, it scales infinitely. I'll just try to continuously post things that I find are interesting or something I'm just working on. And like, that's been so helpful for me, just like finding people that like the things that I like, or getting interests from people who would be fun to collaborate with. I love that because it's just infinitely scalable, right? I post something and any number of people could see it, whereas mm-hmm. like a one-to-one human conversation that doesn't scale so well.
Yeah.
I feel like it depends a lot on your goals. Are you trying to build a network? Are you trying to achieve something specific through your network, like find a new job or find something else? I do think creating something is a great networking hack, whether it's writing, posting things on Twitter, giving talks is great. Like, this is my favorite conference networking hack. Give a talk. Mm-hmm. Because if you are shy and introverted, like many of us are, it's hard to like go up and and start talking with someone. Even I agree with you, Nick, that I love like the hallway track and talking with people. I to this day struggle to go up to somebody and be like, hey, let's talk. hey, I don't know you yep. or whatever. But if you give a talk, people come to you. They want to, and they want to talk about your talk. So it's a natural like starting place for the conversation. People are coming to you. You don't have to initiate anything. It's like the best get to know people networking hack I've ever seen.
Yeah, for sure. It's another hack though, like around that excuse, like we're not here to, I don't know what I'm saying. We're not here to connect. It's, I don't know. It makes it feel less transactional, I think is what I'm trying to say. Because it, I don't know, at the end of the day, it always boils down to like, am I being too transactional in this?
Well, and I think that's a worthwhile frame to think about, right? Like if what you're doing is transactional, then you're being too transactional.
Yeah.
If you're going into a conversation with a goal to get something in particular, and that's the whole point of the conversation, yuck. And I think that's where a lot of people run into trouble with like reaching out to their network for something. You know, I've gotten almost every job that I've ever gotten through my network. And it's never I'm going to people and being like, hey, can you give me a job? Right? That's gross. And I think that's what a lot of people imagine. It's like, oh, I need a job. I'm going to go and reach out to these people who are my friends and then ask them for a job. Like, how yucky could that get? It's going and just like talking to people and then saying clearly, okay, I'm looking for this type of thing. Do you know anyone I should talk to? Because if they have a job that fits what you're looking for, like they're going to tell you about it. And if they see something, they'll point you in that direction. You don't have to go and be like, here I am, like begging you on my knees for a job or anything like that.
Yeah. But in a climate like the one we're in right now, potentially, how do you engage that when you do need it to be a bit more urgent or transactional?
I think there's a couple of things. So one piece that I run into is like the clearer you can get on what it is you're looking for and what value you would bring to that, the better. And like practice saying that. Like I am looking for a senior engineering job at a startup that is at least Series A, but no more than Series D, right? Like 20 to 400 people. And I will be especially a good fit for like an infrastructure position or something like that, right? Like the very, very crystal, not just like I'm looking for a tech job. Okay, like so are we all, right? But like this is the type of company I'm looking for. Maybe I don't care about vertical or maybe I do care about vertical. Here's the type of position where I'm going to be particularly valuable. And then like, do you know anyone in that space, right? Like, because once again, like, I said I got every job through my network. It's never the first degree connection. It's like, okay, this person's husband was working at a place that was hiring someone, or this person heard of something over here and they happen to know someone they can introduce you to or whatever, right? Like, so even when you're that urgent, you're not asking the people directly in your network for the job. You're sharing as clearly as you can what it is you're looking for and asking them that the ask is like, who else should I talk to about this?
Yeah, I like that reframing. I think it can feel hard, especially like if you just got laid off and you're like, I need a job. That's what I need. I'll take whatever I can get, right? Like if you reframe it more as like, this is what I bring to the table, who would be interested in that, right? It feels better, I think, for you and also for the people who would be interested, right? Because companies need employees, right? It's a symbiotic relationship.
Totally. I mean, having been a hiring manager, if you introduce me to someone who is a good fit for what I'm looking for, like that's incredibly valuable. Mm-hmm. So it's not a one-to-one, like I'm giving you something. Like this is a win-win type of situation.
Yeah. And everyone's getting something out of that too. Like, you know, I'd be flattered to play matchmaker between, you know, this person and this company and kind of, you know, introduce that, set that up or whatever. So you get something out of that too, even though you're not directly like hiring the person. So that's a really good way to think about it. And who knows, you're only like six steps away from being Kevin Bacon's personal programmer.
Exactly.
The dream.
Even by the time you get to two steps out, that's so many people.
Oh yeah.
Right? Like you might say you're early in your career and you haven't done a lot of networking. You've probably worked with, if you're two jobs in, maybe you've worked with 30 or 40 people that you have good relationships with. Right. But each of those people has probably worked with 30 or 40 people. Like it compounds really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely something I've noticed. I've mostly worked at startups, you know, so like 100 people. And then how many of those people do I work with day to day? And now I'm working at GitHub, which is part of Microsoft, right? And that network is way larger. So it's interesting. Like, if you're trying to maximize your network, I suppose larger companies are better places to do that.
I see we have another question in the chat, which is around good resources to become better at networking. Is this something y'all have recommendations on?
I was going to say Twitter again. Like, I feel like that historically, at least, has been such a good place to learn from and then just like dip in at any level to jump into it, right? You can lurk for a long time and then you can just start replying to people and kind of building from there. And then that can create deeper relationships potentially. I know a lot of people buy their Twitter handles and not their real names, which is always fun. But that's not really a resource.
I mean, your Twitter handle is basically your rapper name, right? So
I think the other thing with Twitter is like there's so much modeling of like good networking, right? Like it's all online. So if there's someone who you admire or you think does a really good job at this, all of their messages are on there. So you can go and check out like how is it that they do this and kind of figure out like some strategies that work for you. I haven't done this, but now that I'm saying it, it's like, maybe that's a really good way to do that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's a good resource for this. Like, I often will try to move, if there's somebody that I want to get better connected with, try to move from a social network conversation to an in-person conversation. And this actually gets a little bit to your question, Amelia, about like networking within a company as well. Like, find some excuse, whether it's a thread they were talking about on Twitter, or like you're working at a company and like you were both in a meeting together, or you were talking back and forth on a ticket or something, and be like, hey, like I realized we're chatting back and forth and we've never actually met. Could we like do a quick call and get to know each other? And like, I have done that inside companies. I've done that with people I've met on Twitter or LinkedIn. And it's just, it's, to me, the difference in actually seeing a person and connecting with them instead of just text is huge. Like, I really value that a lot. And I feel like I'm able to, then actually when we're talking in text, I feel like I have a much more three-dimensional picture of who this person is and what's going to be like helpful or resonate with them.
Yeah, I like that. Now that I'm thinking about it, at GitHub, we also have resources, which I'm sure most large companies have, like bagels where they randomly pair people, or like there's like a keyboard group where people talk about keyboards. And it feels like if you move away from transactional interactions, right, where you just like take every opportunity you can to meet with people, not thinking forward, right? Like, is this going to get me anything in the future? Just like, hey, this person's interested in things that I'm interested in, or they work at the same company, and taking those opportunities. I feel like it always ends up being beneficial in some way down the road.
Yeah. I was going to say that too, with regards to like meetups. I've probably told this story before, but probably my first week out of college, I had just gotten my first job. I went to this magical place called Borders that doesn't exist anymore. And, I picked up a pocket reference book on Perl, and a card dropped out, and I picked it up, and it was a card that somebody had placed there for the local Omaha Perlmongers meetup group. And I was like, wow, there are people in Nebraska that are sitting around talking about Perl. That's amazing. And I took the card, left the book, and went to the next meetup. And I found out that I was the only person who had ever come to talk about Perl. And since then they had joined with like others to create a dynamic language users group and to talk about like just, you know, Ruby, PHP, Perl, JavaScript. And that was my in. And from there I got like my first side gig, freelancing job. And then from there I also got my second job that I got through a DM on Twitter, which was awesome. But it was all because of networking with people at this meetup. And I had no intention of like coming to, you know, find a new job or anything like that. It was just like, wow, these are people that are talking about cool stuff that I might be interested in as well. And I just started going to these meetups regularly, which was a lot of fun.
I feel like, first of all, I love that story, RIP Borders, and that is some genius growth hacking. I feel like that ties a little bit back to what you're talking about, K-Ball, with like there's like a spectrum of the quality or significance of different connections, right? Like if you're in person, you live in the same place and you're interested in the same thing, that's like a very strong connection versus like, hey, there's someone I like saw tweeted something one time, right? Like I love the idea of like moving up that spectrum and like having a more significant connection to people and like that leading to things probably way more fruitfully than the like random connections we have kind of at the edges.
And the other thing is like, we're all bad at this, I think. I mean, maybe there's somebody out there who's actually good at this and they're probably not a software developer. They're probably like a salesperson or something, but like we're all bad at this. So give yourself a little slack, right? And don't feel like, oh my gosh, this has got to be the perfect conversation, or oh my gosh, they're going to think I'm so weird or whatever. Like we're just all introverted humans trying to figure out how to talk to people.
And I think a good hack to kind of go along with that is try and listen more than you speak, or try and be engaged in what they're saying more than trying to think about what you're going to say next. That's hard, and but it's way more fruitful and you're way more memorable if you're engaged actively in the conversation, asking follow-up questions and getting the person to talk about them more than you're trying to promote your own stuff, which also feels kind of weird.
Oh my gosh, that reminds me of like the best article I ever saw about good conversations. I'll put a link in the show notes, but the title was "Good Conversations Have Lots of Doorknobs." And the idea is, well, there's a couple pieces. So one was around this asking versus telling or talking, and like different people have different styles of that. Some people very naturally just want to ask all the time, and some people very naturally just want to talk all the time. So like becoming aware of like, what's my natural style? Okay, what's this person's natural style? Maybe I can adjust to that. But the other was this concept of doorknobs, which is like, here's a conversational tidbit, whether it's an interesting question or it's an interesting, a bizarre statement that like we can take and open doors to places to talk about. So tech context, it might be like, hey, I built an app the other day for the first time using Next. All right, that's a doorknob. We can go down this whole conversation in a couple of directions. We can talk about Next. We can talk about the app you built. Like we can talk about side projects. But you've just dropped this like opening, and they can choose to take it or not. But if you're in a conversation, like being aware of this concept of doorknobs, looking for them, following them, or dropping them yourself to help make the conversation flow.
I like that.
Yeah, I want to read that. That sounds really interesting. I guess I've never thought of it like that. I feel like often someone will drop something. Like the other day, we were having a conversation in a group, and I said, I've only played one video game. And then like the conversation moved on. Like multiple people were like, wait.
Don't want to open that door. What was in that video game?
Yeah. Nobody knows. That's fine with me.
I'm just picturing that meme of like it's like a cartoon drawing of people dancing, and then there's just like a weird guy in the corner, and you put different things in there, but the one I'm thinking of immediately is like, these people don't even know I use Vim or something like that.
Hello, friends. This is Jared here to tell you about Changelog++. Over the years, many of our most diehard listeners have asked us for ways they can support our work here at Changelog. We didn't have an answer for them for a long time, but finally, we created Changelog++, a membership you can join to directly support our work. As a thank you, we save you some time with an ad-free feed, sprinkle in bonuses like extended episodes, and give you first access to the new stuff we dream up. Learn all about it at changelog.com/++. You'll also find the link in your chapter data and show notes. Once again, that's changelog.com/++. Check it out. We'd love to have you with us.
Okay, so coming back a little bit to networking, I mean, this is all networking, right? Like, we're coming back to what is professional networking? It's relationships with people, that there's something professional, and it's just having conversations. Mm-hmm. Nick, you had mentioned a lot about building your network, and Amelia, you talked about building your network online. Are there other things when you think of like building a professional network, whatever, like what have you done that's been effective there?
I think maybe this isn't so much networking, and this is also not something that I personally do, so this is probably not a good answer to your question, but it's what came to mind for me, is especially with Twitter, a lot of people are focused on establishing a niche so that next time someone thinks of, oh man, I need a data visualization, right? Like your name, if it's the first one to come to their mind, like you want it, right? Like you're the first person they're going to go and ask, and you don't have to be the best. You just have to like establish this really strong connection between your name and what it is that you like to do. And like, if you do that, you'll find people next time they need that thing, they'll come to you, which is, I feel like that's a great hack.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's similar to what I was describing in terms of how you reach out to your network, right? It's like, get really clear on who yep. you're looking for, what you have to offer, and say it as many times as you can.
Yeah.
I feel like the strongest like points in my network are probably like coworkers and ex-coworkers for various reasons, but it's like they've worked with you. They've seen how you work and that you know, they know that you can get stuff done or things like that. So they're probably the strongest ones to reach out to for, you know, new opportunities if you're looking for that, for the those connections to like other places, because they are in the unique position of, oh, I've actually worked with them. I can vouch for them, which is really good. And also just keeping that pipeline like clean and good, not burning bridges, I guess. As someone who has boomeranged twice, I would say it's good to not burn bridges.
Well, and keeping in touch with folks a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So like I have somebody that I worked with like 15 years ago who lives in Austin. And every time I'm going to Austin for something else, I hit him up with an email and I'm like, hey, I'm going to be in Austin. You want to grab a coffee or dinner? And, you know, we hang out and we chat with like no agenda.
Yeah.
But it's keeping that connection warm. Plus, it's just fun.
This is also, okay, this is a hack for developers, right? To scratch the developer itch. But you can automate all of this. You can geofence your phone. And when you arrive in Austin, it sends out text messages to everyone you know who's in Austin saying, hey, I'm in Austin. Or you can do like a yearly thing, like every 6 months or every year, reach out to these people. And it can automatically send these messages without confirming or anything, like through the Shortcuts app. So, you know, if you're looking for
All right.
So
Shortcuts, can I do it with email?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Because I periodically do this where I just reach out to a bunch of people and I'll be like, hey, it's been a long time. Like, you want to catch up?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's schedule time. Here's my Calendly, right? And if I have it, I could have that on automation, right? Be like, hey, it's long time since we last chatted. Would love to catch up with you. The easiest way to schedule me is with this Calendly link. But, you know, if that doesn't work, like, write me back and we'll figure something else out, right? Now it's like all automated. The scheduling's automated. I just have to show up each day and look at my calendar.
I like that.
Okay. I guess our episode notes is not the right place to put personal to-dos, but I definitely want to make that happen. Okay. So building networks, we've talked a lot about. What about now you want to utilize your network? You have something you're trying to achieve. Maybe your current job is suddenly sucking and you're like, yeah, I kind of want to find something new. Or maybe you're switching tracks and you're like, okay, I'm tired of working for somebody else. I want to be a consultant. Or whatever. How do you do it?
That's tough. It's like, I don't know the answer, honestly. But like, the things that I would think about in that situation are like, I don't know. It's so like sensitive, or it seems so sensitive to you in the moment when you're doing it, because you don't want to like, you don't want maybe your current employer to find out that you're actively looking for something else. Or, and once it's out, once you tell someone, you can't necessarily fully control it. So that's tough. But also like, I wouldn't want to like reach out to one of you, for example, and then you feel like, oh, this has become too transactional. Like that would be going through my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a hard time with that. With like, there's someone you've worked with before, you want something from them. I feel like it's controversial. Like, do you like put like the pleasantries in front? You're like, hey, how you doing? I went to check up on like this thing you were working on. By the way, are you hiring? Or do you know anyone who's hiring? Or like, do you do it the other way where you're just like, hey, how you doing? Are you hiring? And then like later you can have the small talk where you're catching up. I don't think there's a good answer.
Well, one thing that I think K-Ball brought up earlier, and you just did it as well, like, do you know anyone who's hiring? Like, not necessarily like coming to you directly and being like, can you hire me? Do you, can you, you know, use your clout to help me in some way? It's more like, oh, do you just happen to know? Like, keeping it casual like that, I think, is probably really good.
Yeah, I bias heavily towards the one you mentioned of like, do the chit chat first, except I don't think of it as chit chat. Like, that's just as much a part of why I want to talk with them. It's like, hey, I'm thinking of this person because I liked working with them or something like that. And there's actually, I have in my head, like, there's some people you reach out to and they're not the type you would chit chat with, right? Mm. For them, I ask for advice because everybody likes giving advice. Like, hey, I'm in this situation. I'd love to get your advice on it or whatever. And there's a few others of these that you can do depending on who you're reaching out to. Mm-hmm. But like something where the thing that you're asking for in the conversation is something they're going to enjoy, whether it's catching up or it's advice or it's, can you tell me about, like, I'm looking at different types of jobs and your job is different than my job. Can you tell me what it's like? People like to talk about themselves. And then once again, like sharing what you're looking for and asking, who should I talk to? Or do you know anyone who's looking or whatever, right? Because you're not, Nick, you said it. People love to be matchmaker. Yeah, I'll matchmake. You and this person, that's great. Like if they have a job for you, they will tell you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to directly ask for that. Just like.
Yeah, I think that's the hack. Like not that I'm looking for hacks to for that, but like it's.
Nick, are you looking for a job?
It's like coming at it more subtly or framing it in the right way to not like put them in some awkward position, but to give them easy outs if they have nothing, no contact, no jobs to give, no matches to make, things like that. Like keeping it casual and pleasant conversation has its own reward in it as well. So at least you get that out of it.
And maybe, you know, 3 months later, they'll stumble across somebody who has that type of job and they'll reach back out to you and be like, hey, are you still looking?
Mm-hmm.
I could play devil's advocate here.
Do it.
I've been on the, like when I'm on the other side and someone's reaching out to me and we're talking for like 5-10 minutes. And I'm like, in the back of my head, I'm like, all right, you want something. I'm like, I'm waiting until you feel like we're in a comfortable place for you to ask what you want. But like, I know you're here to ask something. We're both just biding our time until you ask it, right? Like sometimes it feels better for them to just be direct. And then it's like, okay, let's catch up after.
Totally. I mean, I feel like it depends on your relationship with that person, right? Like there are people I'll reach out to and just be like, hey, I'm looking for this. Do you know anything? Do you know anyone? Those are probably your closest connections in some ways. Like the people you have a really strong relationship, or it's somebody where that was like how you establish your relationship is like, this is a, you scratch my back, I scratch yours relationship. That's what we have. I don't know. Or, I mean, you could probably ask them too. Like, you're like, I get like, love catching up with you. Also, I feel like you're looking for something. Let's just get it out on the table. Like, I'll help you if I can, but like, tell me what you need.
Yeah.
Any other networking discomforts or situations or questions you all want to talk about or things you've, other hacks you've found?
I don't want to be the one to bring it up every week.
Do it. Is it about TypeScript?
Yeah, we're going to talk about TypeScript here. No.
How TypeScript will help you with your professional network. When you're strongly typed, you know what they want because they've...
Okay, yes, actually. This is going to sound so weird, I guess. Or it feels so weird saying it, but you can totally practice these things. Like, I feel like this is a thing that ChatGPT is actually really good at, practicing scenarios like this. And you can ask it to play different roles, and it can do that pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the one bringing up AI again. I'm sorry.
Well, that kind of immersive experience is one of the really interesting things with both AI and kind of VR stuff, right? Like in the intersection of that for things like exposure therapy, things like, yeah, practicing situations, all those sorts of things are really interesting.
Yep.
You can also find a buddy to practice stuff with. I mean, especially if you're like in that place where you're like, I'm trying to figure out how to say the thing that I want in a way that is clear but doesn't feel needy. Like, it's way easier to do that with somebody else. So, like, a trusted peer. I mean, you can, if you're in Nick's situation where you don't want your coworkers to know that you're looking outside, you could go and, like, hire a coach or go and like, work at, go to Toastmasters Club or I don't know.
Disclaimer, That's not my situation, coworkers.
I think on LinkedIn, you can set I'm looking for work in a way that your current employer can't see it. So, Nick, just so you know.
Or you can just talk about it on a podcast. That's a really good way to hack your network. Yeah, I feel like practice is really big for this one, right? Like, don't wait till you actually need something to become comfortable asking for things or talking to people. Regular practice, talking to other humans. Mm-hmm. It's a great thing to do.
How do you regularly practice talking to human beings, Amelia?
Oh, well, I go to ChatGPT. I don't know. I think the first thing that comes to mind is just the work bagel. Like, I get to talk to salespeople and legal people. And like, it's just really interesting just hearing like those sides of the company with these things that I don't know anything about or think anything about. And I think I probably take that same attitude to like conferences or meetups, right? Like, genuine curiosity about what the other person is interested in.
Mm-hmm. I do that with kid functions too. Like, when I'm standing around at a soccer game talking to other parents, like just trying to genuinely be interested in what they have to say about, you know, what they do, or usually about kids, things like that. Like, great way to strike up conversations. And I've actually serendipitously met other developers that way as well, which is like pretty cool.
Kids are a great conversation hack. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what to talk about and you know the other person is a parent, whether or not you are, ask them about their kids. Mm-hmm. They'll almost certainly be happy to talk about them.
Mm-hmm. They'll also bring out the photos, which is a great conversation starter.
Hey, I got some. You want to see some photos right now? I can.
Cool. One thing, Amelia, you brought up was kind of online, you know, and we talked about that a little bit with Twitter, but relationships, internal networking in a remote environment or a remote first environment. You said the bagels, I'm assuming those are virtual, mm-hmm. Yeah. But are there other tools or tactics or approaches y'all have used in like the last 3 years where we're all, you know, just faces behind glass squares?
It's a really tough one. I think like the remote companies I've been at, it's just like a concerted effort to not just always talk about work, right? Like if you have like a stand-up on Monday morning where you kind of talk about, like, what'd you do this weekend? And, like, maybe that feels a little bit forced, but, like, I don't know. I find it important to know about my coworkers other than, you know, like, the work that they contribute to the team. Curious about you all.
That reminded me of another Instagram reel. I'm not cool enough for TikTok, I guess, but it's some guy who's, like, answering that question, like, oh, what'd you do this weekend? And then he, like, breaks away from the scene and like talks to the camera, and he's like, I can't go too deep on what I did because then I'm just the weird guy. I have to, like, you know, just give vague pleasantries on that. I can't be like, oh, it was crap, I had kids yelling all the time, like all of this. Like, I'll try and find that for show notes. It was pretty funny.
That reminds me of, there's a comic of, you know, the different ways that parents and non-parents are coming back from a long weekend, with the non-parents like, oh, back to work, and the parents are like, hello, adults.
Definitely felt that before. It's more just like, hello, structured schedule.
Anyway, I interrupted you, Nick. What were you?
I was going to say, one thing that I've done quite a bit is set up one-on-ones a lot, and just like have those one-on-one conversations that aren't necessarily like transactional in the way that work typically is, like not a hierarchical one-on-one or somebody even within my band, but like, you know, just trying to talk to different people at different parts of the company, usually developers. And a lot of times it's not about work or about, you know, even tech usually, but sometimes it is as well. And that's good. Like, it's just building trust and building communication and rapport with all of these people to, you know, be able to easily go to them when I do have something that's super work related or whatever. Like, we're both kind of apprised on where each other is at and what we're doing and how things are going outside of work. And that, I mean, at the end of the day, everything is about communication and people. So maintaining those relationships and being 100% remote is that's like one of the best things that I've done recently.
Totally. I found it really helpful sometimes with like your customer facing teams as well, mm-hmm. especially if they're filing lots of tickets, because then like if I reach out and I build a relationship with this person, it's not just, God damn it, why are they filing these stupid tickets again? It's like, oh, this is like Bryant that we jam with over music and travel. And like, he's a cool guy. And I know if he's doing this, like he's probably facing twice as much frustration from the customer on the outside. So, okay. Like it feels a lot less, what's the word I'm looking for? Like
adversarial.
Adversarial. Yeah. If you've built a little bit of that relationship and you have something that you've like resonated with each other on, and like I've had it be, yeah, music, travel, books, like whatever it is. But now when you're like talking back and forth on this high stress ticket or this thing that wasn't specified quite right or whatever, it's like, once again, there's a three-dimensional person in your head over there, not God damn it, that idiot.
Yeah. You know, I've worked since 2011 remotely, 100% remote. And so I feel like I'm a veteran at remote, where everybody else has only got a couple of years under their belts now. But back in 2013, when I joined this company, we didn't even use Skype voice. We didn't use any kind of video chat. And so for almost two years, I worked without seeing a single person and would just like, I'd hear their voice. I'd kind of know them based on that from random meetings that we'd have. And we worked fine together. But then after 2 years, the company was like, all right, we're going to do this unplugged thing. And they flew us all to Colorado and we did a 3-day whitewater rafting thing, like down a river. And we had to like go down the river and then go set up camp. And, you know, we're all pitching in, doing all of that. And like, when we got back to work after that, after having like lived together in the wilderness for a couple of days, and actually like seeing their faces and stuff, like it was totally different, because then you're like, oh, you know, there's that person and I know so much more. Like they're actually like three-dimensional and have a face and legs, and it just changes the way you think about and work with them. I feel so like that is the important thing, is what I'm trying to get. Not the whitewater rafting or anything like that. Like it's realizing that there's humans behind these screens.
Well, and if you've been just listening to our voice for years in the podcast, you could come to YouTube and see that we are faces behind screens and still behind screens in little square boxes. But, you know. Awesome. Well, I think we've kind of hit this topic all over the place, up, down, sideways, left, right, behind. Any parting thoughts you'd like to leave listeners with about professional networking as a software developer?
I would like to add you to my professional network on LinkedIn.
We are all on LinkedIn. They could. I've had a few conversations with people who were like, oh, you're that person I listened to on JS Party. And I'm like, yeah, do you want to set up a call and like we can get to know each other? And it's great. So connect to us on LinkedIn. Maybe we can do a call. You can see our face. Or don't, for Amelia, because she ignores all of those.
Yeah, I outed myself. Yeah, I have low expectations if you want to connect with me, and apologies.
Awesome. Did you have any other last tidbits you wanted to share?
I feel like it's all repetitive, but for me, it's just like practice, be really just interested. Like, I love talking to people who do the similar things to me, and it's okay to be transactional or want something in a transaction, but at the end of the day, we're all humans.
Love it. At the end of the day, we're all humans. I think that's a perfect way to end this.
You should add us to your professional network on LinkedIn.
Surely you can't be serious.
Don't call me that. And I am serious. Connect with us. All JS Party panelists are on there. Changelog even has a page where we post quotes, videos, and other cool stuff. Oh, and I also wanted to tell you real quick about Changelog News. It's our new weekly news episode and companion newsletter by me, Jared. I keep it brief, 10 minutes or less, entertaining with fun pop culture tie-ins like this one.
60% of the time, it works every time.
And always on point. Software moves fast. Keep up the easy way at changelog.com/news. Thanks once again to our partners Fastly and Fly for helping us bring you awesome pods each and every week. Check them out at fastly.com and fly.io. And to the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder for keeping our beats spinning right round like a record, baby. You know the rest. Next up on the pod, for Ross and his colleague, Bradley Farias from Socket, sit down with Chris and I to talk all about what they've cooked up to make your NPM commands safer than ever. Stay tuned right here. We'll have it ready for you next week.